You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Well, if you want to save money in health, it's very simple, you know. It's like shoot all the patients and shut all the hospitals.
The Wire.
Last year, the government announced significant budget cuts to the school lunch program, formerly known as Ka Ora Ka Ako, reducing the funding available per meal and reshaping how the program is delivered in schools. Now, the school lunch program covers only a quarter of schools, based on the equity index, reaching about 240,000 students. So more than half of children experiencing food insecurity do not attend schools receiving this program. New research by Dr. Kelly Garten, a research fellow in the School of Population Health at the University of Auckland and a spokesperson for Health Coalition Aotearoa, compares New Zealand's program with Brazil's national school meal system, which has been running for over 70 years and is considered a global gold standard. I spoke with Dr. Garten about what New Zealand could learn from Brazil's approach to school meals and what a stronger program here might look like. So, child food insecurity is currently at an all-time high in Aotearoa. How is this impacting our tamariki?
Well, I mean, kids at school who are hungry can't learn properly. It's also a matter of child rights. You know, every child in New Zealand should be able to, be happy and healthy and well-fed. And we're a country that produces enough food to feed, you know, way more than our population. And so it's a bit ridiculous that we have so many hungry kids.
Last year, the government made budget cuts to the New Zealand Healthy School Lunches Program, formerly Ka Ora Ka Ako. How is this affecting students in schools today?
Yeah, well, the existing program that we had was a really high-functioning program. Kids were, you know, feeling more full after lunch. They had, you know, better focus. Teachers were noticing better behavior. And this also had an impact on things like learning outcomes and also attendance rates for the kids who were most at risk of missing school. With the cuts to the program, basically the budget was cut by more than half, and it made it really difficult for the remaining suppliers to deliver on quality and safety. And we saw a lot of issues with the food that was delivered to the high schools under the new model in the last year. So I think this has created more waste. There are more uneaten lunches. And I think it's created a lot of distrust and in the program. And at the end of the day, it's our kids who are suffering out of this. They've taken what was a really high-functioning program that had impacts on local economies because local jobs were being created. It had health impacts in the long term. It had some great educational impacts. And it had some good environmental impacts as well. And they reduced this to, you know, how could we do the bare minimum and cut this as a cost, instead of looking at this program as an investment in our tamariki, an investment in our future as a country.
Now, in your recent article about national school meal programs, you describe the Brazilian national program as a global gold standard. What makes Brazil's system work so well?
Yeah, well, it's been running for about 70 years now. And over that time, they've obviously learned some important lessons about delivering food to, I think, 40 million kids is what the program delivers to now. Over time, they have gone from a more centralized program that mainly relied on, like, shelf-stable processed foods to having a model where they procure food from local family farms. So they're able to get, like, more fruits and vegetables, more healthy, nutritious, minimally processed food into the meals. That also creates, you know, more local jobs, more local employment. They also have really strong limits on how much of the food being served is ultra-processed. So the kids are getting really healthy, nutritious meals. But they serve it to all kids in all public schools across the country. So it's not seen as an equity program. It's not a handout. It's actually just a fundamental right of the children going to school to have a healthy, nutritious lunch provided to them for free.
In your article, you mentioned that school meals can improve not just nutrition for the kids, but also education outcomes and even local economies. Could you talk a little bit about those wider benefits?
Yeah, so in the original Ka Oraka Ako, schools had the opportunity to work with local suppliers of their choice, and work with that supplier on developing menus that would, you know, work with their student population, be appealing and nutritious, adhere to the nutrition standards. And then there is a feedback system where they could look at continuous quality improvement and control. Now, that system had created about 2,455 jobs, according to Ministry of Education data in 2022. A lot of those jobs were for family members and other people in the community who might otherwise be marginally employed or underemployed. So it did have a really important economic impact. When the new model came about in 2025 and the cost or the price per meal was drastically reduced, it left only a small handful of large suppliers that could commit to a contract. But at the end of the day, those major suppliers still weren't able to deliver on quality and safety, and so they've had to go back to the drawing board. And I think we really need to come back to this local provision model that gives schools the choice of suppliers they want to work with, that allows for this local employment as well, and also just local ownership and engagement in the program.
Can you touch on how the mindset between Brazil and New Zealand shapes the way that their program is designed?
Yeah, in Brazil, there is a constitutional right to food, and children are expected to go to school every day, and so they're fed at school every day. So it's not a matter, it's not seen as an equity program, it's not seen as social assistance or a handout. It's actually just seen as something we do as a society is, you know, we have education for our children and we feed them at school. So it's a mindset shift that, you know, part of education and investing in their future as a country is to feed kids healthy food at school. And part of that gets integrated into the curriculum as well, where they start learning about how to eat well. They sit together, they learn about manners, they learn, you know, about the social cohesion benefits of sitting and sharing a meal together. Kids also tend to try more things if everybody sits and has the same thing. There's sort of a peer support mechanism there. In New Zealand, what we've seen since the coalition government took over the program is that the school lunch program is a cost they'd like to cut. They want to strip it down to the bare minimum rather than looking at this as a matter of child rights and rather than looking at this as an investment.
And what are some key lessons New Zealand could learn from Brazil in supporting our tamariki?
I think the number one thing is that we need legislation to make a school lunch program, a healthy school lunch program, permanent. This back and forth and, you know, debate over whether it will be in the budget every year or 2 years is causing a lot of uncertainty. No one's able to properly invest in the infrastructure, the structures needed to keep the program going and running efficiently. We need to have a guaranteed program running in perpetuity. And that's what's happened in Brazil. There's legislation that guarantees a minimum budget for their school lunch program to keep running every year. We also need to see our program appropriately funded. So the budget cuts in 2025 were way too large. So we would like to see the program appropriately funded. And what principals tell us is that schools need about $6 per meal per child today, rather than the $3 and something they're getting right now. So it needs to be appropriately funded, permanent, and we also would actually like to see it scaled up to be reaching more kids.
That was Dr. Kelly Garten on New Zealand's Healthy School Lunch Program.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.